We don't do that.
Oh no, no, it's quite good if it's like a natural start like this. Toads began.
It means I have to load it up there. No. Should we just do a 3, 2, 1?
The podcast has started.
3, 2, 1.
Put the bass up, will you?
Happy New Year!
Here we fucking are again.
You're here with WACO Radio.
WACO, you tuned in. Stay tuned, bappers.
What is cracking? It's 2016.
It's a new year, it's a new me.
It feels like you went from 2014 to 2016 in a blink of an eye. No?
It almost has.
Like, it kind of did. We did a lot last year.
But feels like it just flew by.
It's funny, I read something really funny about when you try and work out someone's age, you know, if you ever work in a bar, you look at their ID, and you always do the easy part, which is like, go like, okay, what is it to 2000? Yeah. You know, like if someone's born in 1975 or whatever, you go, what is it to 2000? And then you work out from there. Now we're like well past 2000.
Yeah.
You have to add 16 years on, that's a whole different
years now.
Mathematical mind.
My brother's 6 years younger than me, and all his mates are like well old now, and it's making me feel really fucked
up. Yeah,
so I remember them when they were like in reception, you know, like 4 years old. Yeah, now they're like, yes.
People are dying as well. We'll get on to that though.
It's January.
It's been a tough week.
People say dry January. I think that's just made up by like social media.
I got soaked the other night.
Moist January, yeah.
What New Year's resolutions has anyone got?
I didn't actually make one, but I stopped drinking Red Bull.
That's a good one.
But it's just coincidence. I just stopped because I drank so much. So much on New Year's Eve that I just don't want it again.
Well, you haven't slept since then.
That's a good one, though. Red Bull's pretty bad for you, I think.
Yeah. After a few, it feels weird. Yeah. Yeah.
Tommy Wakeham loves a Monster.
I do love an energy drink when I'm tired. it does seem to work. And it's like the sweetest thing you can buy off a shelf.
Ooh.
Like,
Sweetest
a Monster
thing.
Energy drink. I don't know if anyone's had one.
Van Morrison had a song about it called Sweetest Thing.
I know.
I'm pretty sure
endorsed.
That's what it was about.
Yeah, it was endorsed. I saw him on the back of one of those Monster vans at the circus.
Your old Irish energy drinks.
Yeah.
No one.
So what do people do? And this is going to sound extremely naive and probably offensive to the teetotal people, but what do people do if they don't drink for the month? People who drink, what do they usually do? I mean,
they're just going to Nando's and stuff like that.
Cheeky Nando's, maybe.
Can you buy alcohol in Nando's?
You can, yeah.
You sit on the non-drinking table.
Or you can go. Or people go bowling.
Bowling.
Good old
month. Go down the lanes.
And people go to the cinema.
It's about staying busy. Like if I said, right, I'm going to have 2 or 3 weeks off it. It's really hard, but if you stay busy. Like, go and do stuff, get
makes,
out, do
makes yeah. it sound like a sort of 12-step programme.
Stay busy.
Make sure you speak to your sponsor.
Put downs of self or others, you
yeah.
know.
You'd have
don't
to take
wallow.
Admit that you need the Lord to get you through the month.
Well, sometimes boredom, you just think, oh, I just have a pint.
Don't live near any good pubs. You see, where I live, there are no decent places to drink, so I have to go to the shop.
The pub from my doorstep does £2 pints until 5 o'clock.
Ah, the Duke
and
of York.
I don't live over
Duke the Duke of York, if you're ever in West London.
We're trying to get a sponsorship from them, right?
Yeah.
If we named up them enough, the Duke of York.
They're one of those like classic pubs, you know, you've got like little puppies running around, a really loud jukebox,
people
a cheap pool
people
table.
Standing on the tables like when Abba's on the jukebox singing, it's...
At 10 a.m.
Cinema. I mean, even a cinema you can do.
You
get on a few beers.
You go to cinema all the time, don't you?
I do. If you want to see Chinatown the other day, but it was sold out.
That is
Prince Charles Theatre.
That's an intense scenario. Chinatown sold out. It's
quite funny to have a few beers in there, but like we said before, if you have too many.
Yeah.
You can't concentrate on the film or you fall asleep.
Prince Charles is pretty much in Chinatown as well.
I know, Chinatown, that was part of the gag.
But yeah, the dry January cinema is probably a good thing. You don't really want to like actually You don't want to have. You don't want to indulge.
Lord of the Rings style thing.
Me and a friend. Well, you know, me and a group of friends on like our last day of college. Were like we had a few drinks to celebrate the end of the educational process that we'd been through. And so we had a few drinks straight after college, which was like, I don't know what time we finished, probably like a half day, midday or something like that. One of our friends had convinced us it was a good idea to see, it was the premiere of Transformers 2. But we'd sort of been drinking at, you know, the young age of drinking that you like drink tins on the street.
Two carlings in a stinger.
Yeah. And then people were like, well, we should go to the cinema. So we were kind of like, well, yeah, okay. So we went to cinema. But me and a friend of mine who'd not really been in the mood for the cinema, both sat and we're at the, to put it in perspective, the front of the back of the cinema, if you know what I mean. Yeah. You walk in, you go to the left, we're at the front of that
row.
Where
the smooches are sitting.
First dates. Like at the front of the main section. Okay. So like we're like, yeah, far forward. So the film, not very good. Don't know if anyone's seen Transformers 2. So,
I must have missed that one.
yeah, me too.
No offence, guys. No offence, Transformers fans.
But yeah, I fell asleep for like 10 minutes and woke up sort of dazed and confused, needing the bathroom. So like,
I thought you said it was Transformers, not Dazed and Confused.
No, that's the name of the sequel. And, so kind of walked out in a sort of confused state to go to the bathroom. So I walk into the bathroom thinking, there's no urinals in this man's bathroom. It's quite a peculiar thing to walk in, but I didn't really think any of it, and just walked into one of the many cubicles in the empty bathroom. So as I'm sitting there urinating, because you have to sit down if you go into the bathroom, that's right. Just like there's no urinals, so that's what you have to do. And then I just realised I start hearing you sit down when you pee, but lots of women just start walking into the bathroom obviously the film's finished and I'm in the women's bathroom and hadn't realised I'm inside the cubicle. So I have to like wait with my feet up off the floor, like thinking like, oh, I don't want to get like caught in the women's bathroom at the cinema, this might get misconstrued. So I waited there for like 10 minutes until I was certain nobody was in there.
Wow.
So I came back into the cinema thinking, God, I've probably been gone like 20 minutes, and sit back down thinking this was kind of a tough one. But my friend next to me had actually fallen asleep as well, and he suffers, maybe not the correct word, but he has a problem with going to sleep when drinking and sleepwalking and talking. But it sounds stupid, but it's a real thing. It's happened a few times in his life that I know of.
Somnambulant, drunken.
He woke up from his sleep in the cinema near the front, and he stood up. So a person behind him asked him to sit down. I mean, the Transformers 2 fans are pretty, they don't want to miss it on the premiere. But he turned round and I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was rude and carried on standing up, which is pretty out of character for this guy. Then eventually he looks like he's going to walk off, just leaving us with no explanation at the cinema. Then he walks up to the back of the cinema, like along a crowded row, and urinated in the corner of the cinema. Then he walked back down, like without saying, like what? Without looking at anything. Then he left the cinema. He told us later that he woke up like walking maybe half a mile from his house, maybe 2 miles from the cinema where we'd been. I was saying, if a policeman were to like catch you, there's no way he's going to believe you.
What? That is
hilarious. I've got a mate,
the toilets at cinemas, it's weird.
I've got a mate who sleepwalks, and yeah, he'll get up and he'll go, like, he used to go into his parents' room and just piss.
Yeah, it's a thing about needing the bathroom, I think. Like,
it's definitely a guy's thing. I've never heard of girls doing it. I had a friend, I've had friends do it in... I'm just saying.
Nah, I'm joking. but
I think it's definitely a guy's thing. It's because we're so used to, like, peeing wherever we want.
Yeah.
You know?
Things, yeah, like I said,
it's a pissy arrogance.
I even remember like where we were. It was a small town, and I remember going to work at, like, I used to work at a supermarket at like 7 a.m. Like back when I was like 16 or whatever, and like someone I worked with was like, oh, did I see you at the cinema the other day? I was like, yeah. He was like, that person, like, did you see the person who pissed in the cinema? I was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, I'm sure like a woman was like, oh, I've got my, you know, my children with me or something. And he told her to, I don't even know what. Like, again, really rude, really out of character. But
that is so
brutal.
Weird. People must have thought like, oh, yeah, it's like
you're
some
an
sort
animal.
Of protest.
Yeah.
Dirty protest.
Especially it's not what you expect at Transformers 2. Maybe like...
It's not.
The screen and the like,
too vanilla
for,
yeah.
Something,
you know, just put on like Naked Lunch or something.
I went to the cinema absolutely steamer once to see what's that film? I, Robot. And I fell asleep in the adverts at the beginning and just got woke up by someone tapping on the shoulder. Oh. So it's finished, mate. So I had to go back and see it a few days after. But I remember actually after, I don't know how funny this is, I sometimes laughed to myself.
Check our list sometimes, isn't it?
You might have had to have been there. But went to the toilet after absolutely bursting. And toilet, there was three urinals. And yeah, it's really busy after a cinema because everyone wants to go to the toilet. And I'm in the corner and I really need to fart big time. But you know when you're trying to piss, but it's so hard to piss, but trying to keep a farting. So I'm there. And there's a guy, so I'm in the corner, and there's a random guy, random stranger in the middle, and then another one of my mates the other side. So I'm there trying really hard to piss. And then my mate the other side lets out this massive fart, and then that's me that goes there. And then my fucking fart comes out, fucking pissing myself laughing. And this guy's just standing in the middle, and me and my mate are either side of him, just absolutely, like, you know, piss going everywhere, laughing so hard.
Wow,
huffing farts.
You saw your film of the century was this year, right?
Film. There was only one film out. In 2015, and that was fucking Fury Road.
That's the new Mad Max.
Getting it tattooed on my knuckles.
Fury Road.
Yeah, man.
How many times have you seen it now?
I watched it last week, I think, for the 10th.
I haven't seen it, but I have seen the still of the guy playing the sort of like rock guitar on the back of the van.
Oh, yeah.
Loads of speakers. It does look a bit like a rock and roll like a kind Waco of film. Gig. Yeah.
Where it's a Waco gig on the road.
Yeah,
that picture makes you want to watch it, right?
Yeah, I mean, or maybe not even just the picture seems to sum up what I'd want from the film.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you really need. Yeah. The film can't get better than that. Still,
what? I don't even think what else came out. I mean, Star I can't Wars, but
Star. Yeah, I'm too bothered about Star Wars.
What else came out last year?
I thought Star Wars was really good.
I haven't seen it.
Can't really say much though, because it's spoilers, cool. Isn't it? Oh, spoilers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We know the Trekkies are going to be listening.
It's not as good as people are saying, but...
Ooh, shots fired. Ooh. Unpopular opinion.
I can't think anything else. Oh, The Martian. Oh, Martian was all right.
The Martian, yeah. And also, wasn't Birdman, do you ever see that?
I hated it. I appreciate it, but I hated it. What about
favourite gigs?
Yeah, my favourite gig was Single Mothers. You came to this chat, didn't you?
Yeah, Single Mothers. Yeah, yeah. It's wicked.
We played with them.
Oh, sorry, we played with them as well.
There was two gigs of Single Mothers.
We had to leave a bit early, though, on the first one.
Still like a rocket.
When I got to see them properly, it was awesome. So this is my track, Sir Marbles by Single Mothers. I don't care about your first editions.
That's a wicked song.
Single Mothers, crazy band, unique
crazy
style.
Singer.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Unique is definitely the word to describe him. I like it a lot.
He's mesmerizing to watch. So it makes you sweat watching him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a pit bull.
He was busting out of his shirt like a little tiny Hulk.
Yeah. And he has the Lemmy mic. He has it like up high. He sings up into the mic.
Yeah, yeah.
The Noel Gallagher.
Rest in peace, Lemmy, by the
way. Rest in peace, Lemmy.
And Bowie, both icons of which there won't be anything similar.
Yeah, I don't think ever. We can't do it justice, everyone else is talking about it. But they were big influences
on us. Yeah, I don't think... The reason we're not going to play any Lemmy, any Motorhead or Bowie, really, is because one song here and there doesn't really capture
their
magic. Because like Motorhead got so many good songs. Bowie's got so many good songs.
The span of decades.
So it's just kind of like... it's just...
And everyone's listening to them all this week anyway, haven't they?
Exactly. So if you love them, you love them.
If you don't, you don't get to know them.
Yeah.
If you don't, it was too late, but the record still exists.
David Cameron was a huge Bowie fan.
Oh, God.
and a Motorhead fan as well, actually. I saw him on the internet wearing a Motorhead t-shirt.
Did you see the handlebar mustache? Yeah.
Someone, by mistake, posted that David Cameron had died.
I know, yeah, I saw that.
I can't remember who it was. That was amazing.
Some wishful thinking on behalf of the news.
David Cameron.
I did think that Lemmy's funeral, well, his memorial thing was kind of live streamed on the internet.
It's weird, right?
That was and it was kind of weird. I watched a bit of it, and also something about it seemed a little bit iffy because obviously I didn't know Lemmy, but it's like the constant stream of like hair metal dudes from LA going like, yeah, we used to get loaded together. I met him on the road. It seemed a little almost like.
Desperate.
I don't know, desperate, yeah. dishonest, and wasn't what Lemmy was about. Like,
yeah, celebrate his life, but it's...
It wasn't like a promo thing for them and their ego trips, you know?
He wasn't bragging all the time.
Lemmy was never the guy who was like, oh, I did this, I got so loaded last weekend, I do this so many drugs. He was like humble, more British guy, without offending anybody, wanting to offend anybody. He was more like a humble British dude who, I can imagine... Again, we don't know him, but I can imagine him being more like, just fucking throw me in the ground and be done with it. Like televise my funeral and get all... Like, it just seemed a little...
Fake.
Yeah. It seemed a little fake, yeah. Not the kind of people that he'd want to hang out with.
I think the classic thing of like...
Okay, it's all second guessing, but...
Yeah, it's like being on stage is the one thing, but then off stage, introvertial person, really. Yeah. Like, sits alone. Reading books and gambling. It's not a song and dance.
You can imagine these dudes from like Cinderella and these hair metal stars like going to sitting with him in the pub, not him going to sit with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They look up to him because he was a total legend and a real rock star.
Yeah.
But they're kind of the whole funeral.
Was he a rock star though?
He was just a rock and roller. Well, he was a rock and roller. Yeah. He wasn't. I don't think he ever. He wasn't celebrity first, rocker second. He was rock and roll music through and through. Whereas these other guys are a bit more, like they love a celebrity lifestyle, almost more than their music because a lot of the music is trash.
Lemmy was a grafter. Like he kept making music, like album a year. It's
like you were saying earlier about like working. Working class, come from working class British foundations and blueprints. Him and Rob Halford and like Sabbath and all that.
Yeah.
They were just like. Actual nobodies who love the music so much, they didn't live in a world, an LA fast lifestyle where like going out of Playboy Bunny
was like
the destination. That was more like it came with what they did, but the music was always seemed to be a bit more honest.
Yeah.
And him as a character was a bit more honest. So
he breathed the rock and roll, I think.
Yeah, totally. I found it a little strange. And the dude's getting up there with like sleeveless tops on and like going like, yeah, I met him on the road and got loaded. It's a bit like, we get it. Like,
yeah,
he was a real person. Did, he wasn't just a fucking party man.
Lars Ulrich, I mean, drumming on Lemmy's coffin at the funeral was just unacceptable.
There was a WWE belt.
Yeah.
Triple H did a speech.
The Dudley Boys 3D, Vince McMahon.
Stone Cold Stunner.
Through the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
At Westminster Abbey.
I still did think that was kind of weird.
Yeah. Triple H's speech was quite long, and I was pretty pissed by the time it's gone late. We have to watch it rest again.
It's how he would have wanted it if you had to want it.
It seems a little bit more understandable if it was Bowie, even. Because he was a bit more showman. Like, Lemmy's private life, he wasn't one to... Him as a person, he wasn't... His career wasn't to push him.
No.
It was more to push the band. It was all about Motorhead. He wasn't like, Lemmy wasn't a standalone guy. There was no separation between the music,
was
there?
He loved playing, didn't he? He loved being on the road. Well, he said that's all I know how to do. I can't do anything else.
He apart from... I don't know, he used to deal, didn't he? He used to deal to like Jimi Hendrix and all.
Yeah, he was a roadie.
He was his little runaround. He said Jimmy always used to give him loads of acid to like say thanks. And
what a legend. And a little Hawkwind as well.
It's like that's rock and roll credentials, really, isn't it?
If you're dealing acid to Jimi Hendrix, yeah, you really get much more rock and roll.
I don't think he was dealing. I'm not sure if he was a road. I think he might have been a roadie. And he'd just road send man. Him off to like.
He was roadman before.
He was Hendrix's roadman.
Send him to go get like, you know, 20 tabs of acid. He'd give Lemmy a few to say, you know, cheers. Fucking acid back then must have been. Well, everyone was on it like that.
It must have been pretty good.
It was a different day, don't they?
Different you, time. We've been to some great gigs this year. We've played some great ones. But we've been to some other ones. And. Little festival, we did Hellfest, and I went to see, kind of randomly, I got invited by somebody to go see The Shrine and Kadabra. The Shrine are a cool band.
Technical difficulties.
Again.
So, yeah, I went to see Kadabra, who were headlining at the Dome in Tufnell Park, and they were wicked. They're like a German band, the most magnificent beards and hair you've ever seen, like...
Current
total
beards.
Like looks like he straightens his beard. It was so weird, like a long
Billy Gibbons,
a long kind of Billy Gibbons, yeah. And anyway, they sound like fresh out of Woodstock kind of era, a bit psychedelic, a bit more like experimental. But anyway, Kadabra was a good one. Kagawa went to, so that can be my song.
Yeah, play a track.
It's the Last Living Dinosaur off their album from last year called Berlin. Yeah.
Rock and roll.
We'll be right back.
Kadavar.
That's Kadavar. That's K-A-D-A-V-A-R. Quite nice to say that, isn't it? K-A-D-A-V-A-R. That's different spelling to English. Kadavar. Kadavar has got a C, I think, in English. Fuck, I don't write it very often, but I mean,
with a spelling bee.
That was a great gig, though, man. It was like the drummer had a fan facing his face. So when he was playing, there was a silhouette on him. It was a silhouette, a spotlight on him. And his hair was blowing everywhere. It was like watching some sort of like Def Leppard video.
You can kind of feel that. Even I wasn't there, but you can kind of feel that live. It would be like a pretty rocking,
my head didn't rocking stop.
Gig.
Did you see Tommy Lee's drum roller coaster
the 360. Oh, really?
That's the last ever gig, yeah.
That's ridiculous, anyway.
Fans waited up to 6 hours for the repairman to come out. Turns out there's only one.
They sorted it pretty quick. It's just, it's quite a cool idea. I like these extravagant
theatrical rock and roll. Although I was slagging off Hermit a lot.
Rob Halford's motorbike, though.
At Hellfest, he came on a motorbike. That was hilarious. Motorbike. It's like when I saw AC/DC had a tank on stage.
It's like so much.
Was it Iron Maiden? One of them.
Maiden did the tank in the Matter of Life and Death tour. And he came out the top on that.
Even AC/DC, the Halford's bike. Even Halford's bike. That's like got to be a pain in the ass to get there. And you just got to think, right? Just think you're a stage tech, and you're like slaving over moving Rob Halford's bike
without scratching the stage,
and you're kind of like, what is this?
I think it's really hilarious that people didn't know he was gay, and he came out later on in his career. It's like, what? He's gay? It's like, dude, like, has anyone ever dressed more and acted more camp in their life? It's a bit like George Michael the same. It's like, people, like all these rockers going, huh?
No, he's gay. So it's good, like, come on. Because like, you get all these sort of like people who are probably homophobic.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, it puts them in a sticky situation.
What, the leather chaps are gay now?
Yeah.
There was so,
what, the punk flash gay
now? Assless chaps are gay now?
There were so many lyrics, though. Like, yeah. Living after midnight is like, gonna blow you. Loads of hints. Yeah. Like.
I love that, though. I think it's great.
Yeah. And I'm just funny that some people chose not to think about it, then think about it a lot afterwards. It's like, that's great.
Talking about homosexuals in metal, though. One of my favourite gigs of the year was Torch.
Oh, yeah.
And he's amazing because he really embraces it.
Yeah, he really promotes. He really promotes. But in
LGBT.
But in the metal scene, it's not, especially the doom scene, it's not a commonly addressed issue.
In fact, I can't think of many of
them. They really promote. And like, even like the album covers, it's like doom album covers, it's got like the rainbows like subtly into it and stuff. Like they're really good force.
Like the main man, Steve Brooks, he always has like a big tash, and like he's always gets
asked. He has like the Halford Cowboy hat too.
No, what's shit though? Because he always gets asked, which is like, you know, it's a stupid question. Oh, what's it like being gay in the metal scene?
Which he probably pulls a lot.
No, he's like, well, metal is the gayest thing on earth. He's like, a lot of guys wearing denim and leather. He's like, what? There's nothing gayer than that.
Yeah, prancing around in spandex.
He really embraces it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I've not really got into them that much. Where was the gig?
Underworld. It gave one of my workmates. I took along Tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
Is it Tinnitus?
Tinnitus.
I can't really hear you. It's probably sorry.
And also seen Floor, Steve Brooks and Floor as well at Desert Fest. They were fucking heavy as fuck.
Loud.
Desert Fest is like a doom takeover of Camden, isn't it?
Yeah, Stoner. The
Conan merchandise festival.
I mean, Floor are a bit different though from that. I mean, they are heavy and they are classed in that genre, but they don't sound like any.
No, there's a lot of innovation in that genre though. There is lots of bands that do stick out as being really good.
Yeah, stick out amongst the beards.
Yeah, you got to cut through the beards. They're frequent.
Well, your beard's been a new installment this year, right?
Talking about beards.
Oh god.
We went for a weekend. Oh, this is it. This is subliminal. Me and my mate went to Jersey to see Conan, and then I came back and didn't shave.
Once you get a band so heavy, sometimes it does drive you into it.
Or like, once you go almost deaf, there's a link with beard growth.
Yeah, I've gone about 5 or 6 years ago.
I can't grow a beard.
Yeah. And then I just got pissed off with it. I'm getting pissed off with this now.
See, I got rid of my sideburns this year.
Looks fresh.
I didn't know this.
I got told. For the listeners out there, I'm not 35. I'm younger than 35. But I got told a few times, three occasions, that you look 30, you look 35, and I thought, oh shit.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't say that, not in a nasty way. I was like, how old do you think I am? They're like 30, 35?
What's wrong with being 30?
Nothing wrong with being 30, no offense, mate. But I thought, I'm going to, when I am 30, 35.
Embrace that.
Maybe I'll be happy, but I thought maybe I wanted to try to look a little bit.
Nah, but it's the influence. Isn't it?
What, it's too many?
The burns. It's the burns.
I can't grow it down the side of my mouth.
I just got the teenage mustache. That's all I can.
Lemmy in the 90s, where he had none.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lemmy. Should play a song.
Well, yeah, actually, we can move to.
Chrissy Wakeman's got a constant beard.
Yeah, he's got constant stuff. A little bit of one going on. Yeah,
it's like he's quite dashing.
I look weird clean shaven.
I don't know if you do. That's just your face.
You've seen my face.
Saw a really funny comedian once, and he said that like he got all his beard shaved off, and his girlfriend was like, oh. Doesn't suit you. And he was like, well, that's my face. And she's like, yeah, but it doesn't suit you. That's just my face.
You're only attractive when it's covering half of the face.
You look better when you can't see half of your face. That's what they're basically saying.
Graham Norton's got a beard now, I've seen recently. I was like, whoa.
It's a bit of a silver fox, though.
Yeah, he looks quite cool with it, though. Who would you like to see with a beard?
David Cameron. I'd like to see without a beard. That's
Billy Gibbons without the beard.
The whole metal scene without a beard.
What do they really look like?
Unless he's ZZ Top without their beard.
Yeah.
And no
sunglasses as well.
Don't be crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever happened.
There's a funny lyric in the Hell on the new Hell album where he says, even my cat's got a beard and even my dad's got a top knot. I think it's some kickback against the scene or something.
Maybe.
Should we play a hard rock song?
Yeah. This is talking of Torch and homosexuals and mustaches and like denim.
This is Torch
from their track from their latest album, Blasted.
Don't you turn that dial.
Strong.
That was good. I've not really listened to Torch. You said the funniest thing once when we were on the beach in Brighton. You were like, oh, they're like stoner pop.
Yeah.
I can't see.
It's just bass heavy, but it's like, it's tunes. Tuneful. I mean, is it Meanderthal, the name of the... Is it like,
it's the second one, yeah.
The second one, that was the one I got really into. And it's like it's half catchy stuff and half like, you know, real slow down, but heavy, in a sort of light way. It's quite melodic, I think.
Yeah, major chord.
It's like it's not your typical run of the mill sludgy band, I think. There's something a little different.
Four were a lot more, weren't as poppy. They still had cool hooks. But yeah, both worth checking out. Floor and Torch.
It's a bad name for the band, that, the Floor, isn't it?
It's what's cool interesting name. About it's floors? A cool name.
Floor?
Yeah. It's current, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe.
But yeah, it's good gigs in the year.
We did loads last year.
Yeah, a lot of gigs.
Went to loads. Gigs. Played loads.
We played with Slaves at the Hippodrome in Kingston.
Yeah, Single Mothers.
In Kingston as well, thank God.
Mars Intruder.
What was your favourite gig of the year, Chris?
That we played.
Yeah.
Ooh. Maybe Bangers, that was cool.
Bangers was cool.
I really enjoyed it. That's another one in Kingston.
Oh, great. But they released a really good album last year, actually.
Yeah, Bird. Well worth checking out.
We played in a kitchen at a house party at Astley Castle. That was so good. That was
fun.
We must have been about like 20 centimetres in front of me. It was just a whole crowd of people. That was really funny. We played with Werecats and a couple of other bands. It was really good fun.
Yeah, it was really good. We got, our EP came out, first EP.
Sundown. Yeah.
That was like February, early February.
Feels like years ago now.
We did a video for Wrangler.
That was my highlight of the year. Yeah. Do you know what? Someone asked me my highlights of the year. That was one of them.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
The 2 days we spent making that was absolutely
intense and fun.
The most fun.
Yeah, couldn't really knock it.
Nearly burnt down a practice room. There's a scene where there's loads of like candles, and when we were lighting them, I was so scared because if you knocked one of them over, that would have been
caught on fire.
On carpet.
And going into a practice space.
Candles, yeah.
And the staff behind the counter just seeing you covered in like paint.
Yeah,
I think what's going on in there?
After a few hours, yeah, the lad was like, oh, what are you doing in there?
Nothing.
Like, why does it smell like fire?
Yeah.
Why have we all got face paint on?
No reason. But that was good. Then we recorded new EP, which is going to be coming out this year. Probably maybe April. We haven't got it confirmed, but it's coming. But we
are sounding wicked, yes. Five new songs.
It's nearly done. We got upcoming gigs, actually. We've got a gig in, 21st? Less 22nd, than 2 weeks. Isn't it? 21st.
21st January,
Thursday. That's at the Black Heart in Camden. That's a free one with Dirty Nil, the Dirty Nil. They're a sick band. You should check them out. They're coming over from Canada.
So they're cool, they're singing a bit like Pup, and I think they're mates with Pup, who are another Canadian band.
That Canadian feel.
Yeah, I don't know. I said they're a bit like... I said they remind me a bit like of Weezer in a way, but maybe I'm wrong.
Someone said they reminded me of Waco, which was a compliment.
That's a nice compliment.
But yeah, let's play a track. Dirty Nil, Pale Blue.
Yeah!
It reminded me a bit of Distillers. That was good.
Yeah, rocking track from the day.
Really, like, slurred and like a bit crusty.
Yeah, hard. And, like, it's got like beer soaked into it or something.
Hard beer.
It's their first UK gig in it as well.
Yeah, first time over.
I feel absolutely privileged to play it, really. I think they're going to be
being the Black Heart Lows, I've never played.
It's my local. I can see it from my house. Can first time fan there. Not quite, but almost.
I can hear smell it from your house.
Yeah.
The sticky craft beer.
Wonkfest was good as well.
Wonkfest was good.
As always, it's probably one of my favourite days of the whole year.
Yeah.
Even if we weren't playing it, it would still be one of the best days of the whole year for me. It's just such a good atmosphere. It's insane. So that's friendly. Really good.
We did... We had something funny when we went to record our video. We went to Dungeness. We've got a song about Dungeness.
Down in Kent.
We filmed the Wrangler video, the beach scenes in Dungeness. That's why it looks so amazing. It looks like a film set, or it looks like we went to like the Sahara Desert.
On the Fury Road.
Almost bringing it back to the Fury Road.
Yeah.
And there was a really funny moment. Well, it wasn't that funny at the time.
And they have experience.
There's things called sound mirrors there, and they look like something from like a sci-fi film. They look like big half circles.
Yeah, it's like an unsuccessful technology. It was like a concrete radar.
They would use them to the sounds so of it.
They thought that it didn't work. But basically, they would put someone in this concrete structure shaped like a contact lens.
Yeah.
And with the idea that you could hear planes flying overhead
from World War II.
Yeah, World War I, because it didn't work, I think, and they were just like, they left them.
But now they're just like disused, and they look so amazing. We wanted to film some of the video there.
It looks like it's on space.
It looks a little bit like a satellite, but made out of stone.
It's really, you have to go down there and check it out.
But to get to it, it's on a little island.
Yeah, there's like a moat.
It's a kind of moat where there's a big lake.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of. Strangely, it sounds like I'm making it up, but if you're from the part of the world, you'll know there were snakes there, right?
We're in England, remember? Water snakes.
There were snakes down there, so that was weird anyway. So you see snakes like scooching across the water, and it's quite weird. So we went to get to it, we had to get a dinghy because they must have been about 3 meters, not very far, but too far to jump.
Yeah, just like about a meter too far to do a long jump, and we had like cameras.
We had to
drive half hour to get a dinghy first, didn't we?
So we went to go get a dinghy. We weren't going to stop by the water. We were going to have to still do it. So we went to go get a dinghy to cross the sacred sea to get to the sound.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And then we were like, we've got this dinghy. We blew it up, like, joint effort.
It took about an hour.
Everyone huffing and puffing to this dinghy. We walked back down there. We did waste a good sort of half a day doing this. And then when we got into the thing, there was water snakes. No one wanted to do the dinghy because of all these pythons, British pythons.
But also the water wasn't that deep.
It wasn't.
It would almost have been easier if it was deeper. Because with this poor dinghy and the weight of a human, you're almost going to touch the bottom. Yeah. Which you caught on a rock or something, and it lasted about a minute.
But we had this big stick that was like a staff and an oar at the same time, so we could feel the bottom of it. And then, comically, the stick
like a Venice off. We lost the stick. Gondola.
The stick went, and then as I got in the dinghy, we can upload a photo of this. This is quite funny.
Have you got any?
I've definitely got one.
There's a sneaky dinghy shot around.
And I was getting into it, and then it popped and it started sinking. And then like we just gave up, and we had to like throw the dinghy.
Snake. No.
Yeah, it was a few screams of snakes, and then... I'm not even scared of snakes, but when they're in the water, for some reason, it makes me feel a little bit peculiar.
Don't trust anything that can swim underwater.
Yeah. No. It's almost like, historically, they've been put forward as these sort of bad guys, you know?
I know, biblical times,
Guardians of the sound mirrors.
Yeah,
never and trust. So we didn't make it to the sound mirrors.
So that was a shame. But we learned a lot about snakes.
We learned a lot about ourselves. It was a bit like a Stand By Me kind of
thing. Or a sort of philosophical choice about crossing the water.
Yeah, maybe the water's there. Maybe in we life, the waters are there for a reason.
Yeah, to make the other side that you're on better than to jump over.
The grass is always greener.
When the sound waves on the other side.
There's plenty of metaphors to be taken from it, I feel.
I think that's the message to take away from this today.
Sounds like an Aesop's fable. Yeah. Well, the snakes didn't talk, that's the only difference.
Aesop Rocky's fables.
We've got a few other gigs coming up. Got some big ones, actually, haven't we? The Hell.
Black Hole.
We played with Black Hole.
Oh, that was great.
That was last month.
Black Hole are a great band. They were around about 6 or 7 years ago, I think.
Smashing it.
About that, and I saw them once, and they were great. And they were like heavy ass, a bit like Cancer Bats-y. Then when they've come back around, they've re-emerged, they've resurfaced, and they kindly asked us to support them, and that's and that was so lovely, and the gig was great.
Gig, wasn't it?
People were nuts.
They've asked us again,
haven't they? One that stands out in my mind was the Masked Intruder gig.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Great band, Masked Intruder, who all wear masks. Well, balaclavas, different coloured balaclavas.
On Fat Wreck.
Yeah, they were so much fun.
Fat daughter's favourite band. He says.
I can see that because they're almost like Disney-esque.
I thought that at first and was like uncertain if I'm honest. And then it's like, but then you listen to the lyrics and the songwriting and they obviously know what they're doing. It's like
it's a clever double bluff.
It's almost like doo-wop.
Yeah, definitely like that. Yeah.
Murderburgers played as well.
Our pals,
big up Frasier and the Murderburgers.
Always my pleasure.
I don't know if they get up in Scotland, they're the podcast.
In Scotland, let us know, Fraser.
Let us know by fax, doesn't it?
It comes up not available in your country.
It's a different country. So they have this guy called, in the Murderburgers, there's a guy called...
in the Mass Intruder.
Sorry, Mass Intruder. There's a guy who's in the band, but he's not in the band. He's a guy, school of rock kind of
he's
way.
He's their hype man, he's also a cop.
Officer Bradbury.
Brad something.
Bradford. Officer Blackberry.
Officer Brad Pitt.
Officer Brad Bradford, and he's just like a policeman. He's in some skimpy little shorts.
He's from Bradford.
Well, that isn't confirmed.
Yeah.
But he just jumps around the crowd and tells people off and got trunging, and he kind of gets a mosh pit start.
And it really, really works.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
And he had his tiny little skimpy shorts and his... At one point, his penis was like 5 meters away, well, like 15 meters, 10 centimeters away from my face, because on the table, kind of lunging.
It's like a typical cop, really. Like.
Typical cop, isn't it, at the end of the day. And anyway, they were great.
We're going to play a track from them.
Well, this is the end of the podcast, then, if you play this track.
This is the Rest in Peace track.
Already? It's been emotional.
It has been. In the words of Masked Intruder, stick 'em up, stick 'em up, stick 'em up.
Thanks for listening.
See you at the same time next time.
Ta-ta! Stay away
Nico.